Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Matthew. We're reading from the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 21. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You have heard that it is said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. So this morning with the children, we spoke a bit about choices. We realized that from very young ages, we're always making choices. We're always confronted with choices. We're always having to choose. And even the idea of not wanting to make a choice is actually making a choice. And this morning, when we listen to our Old Testament lesson, we hear the people of Israel presented with a major choice before them. It is one that can set the trajectory of their future together. It's the choice between life and death, blessings and curses. As I thought about it, I wondered, what would it be like if every morning before we got out of bed, we woke up and heard the Lord say, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses on this new day. What will you choose? And every morning before we got out of bed, we intentionally chose life. What would that do to our day? The choices that we make, how would it inform our decisions, our actions, our intentions? It might change us, actually. The scriptures tell us that to choose life is to choose God, to love God with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength, To choose life is to hold fast to God. In the church of my childhood, the choir would occasionally sing a selection entitled, In Times Like These. I don't know how many of you may know that song. It spoke about the need to hold fast to the Lord, especially during turbulent times. The first verse says, In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. To choose life is to hold fast to the Lord, for indeed he is our solid rock, especially during unsettling times. Life is also found in obeying the Lord. The Bible is full of stories of the disciples obeying Jesus and being blessed in return. Do you remember the story where Jesus told his disciples to throw their net over the other side of the boat, and they do even though they don't believe it? They question, oh, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. They've been fishing all night long and haven't caught anything, and yet they obey. And what happens? The net is filled with so much fish, they need help to haul it all in. Do you remember this other story when Jesus told the disciples to divide the thousands of people into smaller groups? They had just some bread and some fish, and the disciples, they thought, there's no way this is going to feed everyone. We should just send them home. However, they obey. And to their amazement, everyone eats to their fill, and there's food left over. And then there's this last story where Jesus tells the disciples to remain in Jerusalem. After he has been crucified and risen, and even though the disciples are afraid that they will be killed as well, they obey. And what happens? They experience the gift of the Holy Spirit. Time and again, the disciples obey Jesus, even when they don't always understand, even when they don't always get it, even when it may not seem to their best interest. To choose life is to love God, to hold fast to God, and to obey the Lord. But lest we think that choosing life is a given, you know, like, oh, well, we become Christians, and so we'll just always choose life. It doesn't always work that way. The Apostle Paul spoke about what happens to a community of believers when they choose death. Now, they may not necessarily have put it that way. I don't think anyone in the church in Corinth said, today we're choosing death. Instead, it really was about their actions and their intentions. When we read Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, to a great extent, that's exactly what they did. This faith community was racked with jealousy among each other, quarreling and bickering all the time, a lack of love for each other. There was no sense of hospitality, no motivation among them to honor the common good between each other. There's a story in the letter to the First Corinthians where we hear about them coming together, and after worship, some would gather and have these lavish meals together while others stood on the side watching, hungry and unable to eat. How could they do that? Well, Paul says their priorities were all mixed up. It was wrong because of the choices they made. Choices to work against each other rather than together in mutual respect. Choices to honor some and shun others. Choices to gossip and tear each other down rather than praise and build each other up. They had forgotten that it is all about Christ, who called them to follow him and use their gifts and talents in service of God. Yes, they were people loved and saved by the Lord. Yes, they were servants of Christ, but it was the Lord who made what they planted and watered grow. Any growth among them was purely by God's grace and God's grace alone. Therefore, they should have chosen life and celebrated what God was doing with them and through them. Instead, they actually chose death. Last Sunday, Pastor Duane gave an excellent sermon, wasn't it? A sermon that challenged us to focus on why, the why behind what we are meant to be doing when we walk in the ways of God. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus Christ lets us know what our actions would be if we understood the why behind the laws we have heard. Indeed, choosing life goes beyond obeying the letter of the law to understanding the spirit behind the law. For at the heart of the law is how do we as a community of faith live our lives together in ways that glorify God and build up the kingdom among us. It is with this understanding that the psalmist of the first psalm can say, happy are those who delight is in the law, who meditate upon it day and night, because their realization is that the law helps us live well in community together. But most people, if you're like me, and I'll put myself in this category, we have a love-hate relationship with laws, don't we? I don't know too many of us are happy or take delight in the law, who meditate upon it day and night. I don't. We like our autonomy, our independence, our freedoms. We don't want to be told what we can and cannot do, or be confined to anything that regulates our behavior, especially if it's against what we want to do. But one of the great truths about laws is that we need them in order to coexist in community together. They help set boundaries in which we can thrive and prosper. When the laws are just and equitable, they create an atmosphere of fairness and respect. When laws are mutually shared, they foster harmony among all people. This is true in our civic life as well as in our church life together. Therefore, at the root of this portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the root of it is the question, how do we choose life? Not only in ways that benefit us. See, we can choose life in ways that benefit us, but rejects and hurts everybody else. We can choose laws that benefit us, but makes everyone else's life miserable. But at the crux of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the question is, how do we choose life in ways that blesses and uplifts all around us? Well, it happens when we live out the spirit of God's law. So rather than allow relationships, this is the first part of the passage in the Gospel of Matthew, rather than allow relationships to be put to death, Jesus says we should learn how to deal with our anger in healthy ways. Doesn't say that anger is bad or evil or wrong, but we should learn how to deal with our anger in healthy ways and work toward reconciliation with those that believe themselves wronged by us. rather than dishonor the covenants and commitments we have made with impure thoughts or actions that seek our own gain at the expense of another person. We should do whatever we can to honor and uphold those promises because they are that important. And rather than focus on resisting the destruction of other people's reputations by lies or things, or focusing on not lying. Can you imagine you're spending your whole day focusing on not lying? I'm not lying. I'm not lying. Instead, Jesus says we should focus on living lives of integrity and honesty and respect so that everyone around us knows that our yes is always known to be yes, and our no is always known to be no. After all, at the end of the day, all that we have really is our word. Therefore, we should live in such a way that our word, not the things that we swear by, but our word, means everything. My brothers and sisters, our choices matter. They usher in life and blessings or death and curses. In our individual lives, in our congregation, in the communities to which we belong, and in the world around us. Those choices that we make are ever before us. May we choose life. And may the Lord be glorified, honored, and praised through us and the choices we make this day and always. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for giving us choices. We thank you for presenting us with the ways in which we can live our lives that pleases and honors and glorifies you. We pray for your grace and your mercy, your strength and your courage to make choices in our lives, choices of life and not death, choices of blessings and not curses. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.